Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We are continuing our conversation about fear. We shared yesterday that God knew that we would struggle with fear or being afraid of things, and the phrase "do not be afraid" or the word "fear" is mentioned 365 times in the Bible, one a day. That God knew that we would struggle with it. So I'm glad to know that God wants to help us. We talked about 2 Timothy 1:7, that God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I'm sharing this week four ways that have helped me handle fear in my life. And yesterday we just got to the letter F. I'm spelling out the word fear, F-E-A-R, the acronym fear. Talked about facing it. The letter F, face it. And so if you missed yesterday's program, I would encourage you to go to our website, hopeishere.today. Listen to that, only 14 minutes long, or share it with somebody that you know is struggling with fear. But the second part of how do you handle fear, on top of first just facing whatever it is that takes the big bully out of your life, when you face it, makes it a lot smaller, but you got to face it. The second way to handle fear is letter E, examine what you fear. Examine what you fear. Psalm 27 verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Friends, I don't know what it is or who it is that you fear, but once you face your fear, maybe before you face it, maybe you examine, why is it that I won't face this? What is it? Am I afraid of rejection? Is it pride? Am I afraid of failure? You know, if I face something that I fear in my life, maybe it's public speaking. I'm a little bit unique. Weird, if you want to say it. I don't get nervous speaking in front of people. Oh, maybe a little bit if it's a huge crowd or something. But overall, it's not something I fear. But I told you about fearing the dentist on yesterday's program. And there's other things that I fear in my life. I'm not real great on the computer technology. I can do all the basic stuff, but I'm not great on the computer. But I'm facing it more and learning to try to do things. And it's amazing when you face something, you take away that stronghold that it has. But examine, what is it that you fear? Is it rejection? Is it pride? Is it because I might fail at something? You maybe have this perfection thing going. You've had it since a kid and you still struggle with it as an adult. And one of the things that parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, best thing we can do is just, you know, not strive for perfection and show our kids, our grandkids, our nieces and nephews that God loves you. You don't have to be perfect. And you know what? You're going to, quote unquote, fail. So I love sports so much, because you don't win every game. And you know what? You don't win every day in life. But the biggest problem I think we have, and why we get in fear, is because we're always measuring ourselves up against what the world says about us and not what God says about us. The fact of the matter is that, you know, most of us are not where we thought we would be at this stage of life. Maybe we're not even where we should be or even where we could be. But the fact of the matter is that God loves you exactly right where you are. And I love that verse in Lamentations chapter 3. I think it's verse 22 or 23, but it says, "God's grace and mercy is new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness." Friends, people are going to let us down. I've let people down. I'm a people pleaser, and I try my best, but I say things wrong sometimes. And when you're in ministry like I am, man, that's a lot of pressure, and I'm trying to, you know, my word for 2019 is being healthy, and that's mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, just trying to run things through the filter. Is that healthy when I'm making decisions for my life? So I want to encourage you, what is your word? What is it that you fear? Part of being healthy is dealing with the things that we are afraid of, examining fear in our life. For some people, it's being alone. Man, I get that. I get that. Having been through divorce, and I get it. And a lot of people listening to this program I know are widows. And my heart goes out to you. My mom's one of my heroes, how she is. Dealt with my dad's unexpected death. It'll be 3 years in March. And we know everybody's going to die, but just the way it happened, and I've shared about that numerous times, so I'm not going to go into that. But, you know, sure, she gets lonely. She sheds a few tears sometimes, but she just is like, nope, you know, this is where I am in life, and God's been good to me, and I'm not alone because of Jesus is with me. And I've shared this before, but I feel like somebody needs to hear it today. Remember, if you're a follower of Jesus, you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and if you've been baptized, you got the gift of the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you to just cry out to the Lord. Remember that you have not just your Heavenly Father, you also have Jesus. And then Jesus said he would, when he told the disciples he was leaving, I will leave a comforter for you, a counselor, the Holy Spirit. And so we're never alone. The Holy Spirit lives within us, but sometimes we have quenched that. We have done things to keep God from the Holy Spirit to be in us, but from decisions we make, from not spending time with God, and not beating anybody up. But the fact of the matter is, if you want to know someone's presence or know them, you have to spend time with them. You have to invite them. And for somebody today, simply maybe it's just being honest with God. God, I just fear being alone. Would you be with me? Would you come with me? And I've shared with this many times. So many times I've had to go into a meeting with somebody and was a little nervous and intimidated. And just God clearly said to me a few years ago, Greg, you're never alone. I'm with you. In fact, there's three of us, the Trinity that we like to call it in the church world, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that are with you. So I always invite, right before I walk through a door, to sit down with somebody and to say, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, please be with me during this meeting I'm getting ready to go into. I also love 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Friends, basically what God's saying is that, you know, Jesus Christ, you know that he came with love. And that's how, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God modeled what love was by giving to us his one and only Son, his best. But friends, when we get in fear, we don't know what love is. And it, most of the time, I've shared it numerous times, but fear, I heard Joyce Meyer say it many, many years ago. Listened to WJMM 99.1 FM for many years, and maybe that's something you need to listen more of. Fill your heart and tank with what God's saying about you throughout the day. But, you know, fear, a lot of times, F-E-A-R, is false evidence appearing real. It's false evidence appearing real. So I want to encourage you to examine what it is that you fear, because Satan can be having a field day. And I just know God has great plans for his children to be, because he wants to bless them so they can be a blessing to others. And fear keeps us from doing that. So I want to encourage you to examine what you fear. And, you know, you hear this psalm a lot at funerals, but I think it's just appropriate for everyday life. Psalm 23, verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So friends, some of you with fear, you literally feel like you're walking through a valley. It's a valley of fear. It might as well almost be a death. It may not be a physical death, but it's a mental and emotional death. And we just fear what could happen. But you know, Jesus, they use sheep a lot in examples. Jesus did, because that was an occupation back then, farmers and shepherds with the sheep. And, you know, it talks about there in Psalm 23 that the rod and the staff, they comfort me. You know, it's God's way of saying, I'm protecting you. I've got you. Friends, you're not alone. God is your protector and your provider. He cares more about what you fear than even you do. And he wants to help you. Jesus totally, it was a waste of his death, brutal, awful death, even the scourging that he went through before he died, a brutal death on the cross, being whipped 30-plus times, having the skin shredded off his back because what they whipped him with had bits of glass and rock in it and just shredded his back. Researchers say that a lot of times, especially if you got whipped as many times as Jesus did, you could see through to the intestines in people's body, because it was all flesh. There was no skin left to protect the insides of somebody's body. All that pain Jesus went through was for naught if you let fear paralyze you. And one of the things that I know in my own life, and embarrassed to admit this, but so many times I have suffered from paralysis by analysis. We just analyze something over and over and over, and we get in fear about making an actual decision. My hero Wayne Smith used to say, you know, if you wait to go downtown when all the lights turn green, you'll never get downtown. And for some of you, it's time to start driving downtown, okay? Yes, most of the time we get detoured when we try to face a fear. It may not go exactly the way we plan. We may not get all the green lights. We may get, you know, a couple red lights, but that's okay. God's still there. And a lot of us are kind of like my nephew. I've got this cute picture of him that I may post with the podcast of this program when he is, I think, maybe 2 years old, 3 years old, and he's in a lion's costume, his first Halloween, and he's holding himself up on the stair rails as you go up, you know, has these little rails there protecting, and he's holding those, and he's smiling through it because he's got to use those to hold himself up. But it's such a great picture to me because it's a physical, it's not like a jail prison, but, you know, it looks almost like he's in a prison behind these bars, but it's actually just the stair rails. And so many of us are in a mental and emotional prison. We're behind a mental, emotional bars, and we don't have freedom. And I really believe when you face your fears and you examine what it is that you fear, that there comes tremendous freedom, that those bars are gone and that you're free. And that's one of the reasons I do what I do. Hope is here. That's why I do it. And we obviously started because a friend of mine committed suicide and left two precious daughters, 5 and 7 years old. He got in fear and lost hope for whatever was going on in his life. Nobody saw it coming. Had a good job and on the outside, handsome, ran 5Ks, was a musician, had a really good job at Toyota. Nobody saw it coming. But there was something in his mind and heart that he got in such fear of. And I want to encourage you, if you're at that point, let somebody know. If you're willing to face your fear, but you're like, I can't do it alone, reach out to somebody. Please. If you're like, you know what, I've got to let somebody know, contact me. You can go to our website there. Hope is here. The email is greg@hopeishere. Could I meet with you? Could I talk with you? It's simply greg@hopeishere. I'd be glad to try to meet with you, have a cup of coffee, and listen and pray. But please let somebody know if you've lost hope because of some fear that you have, the fear that it's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better. And an acronym I have for hope that I feel like God laid on my heart, the letter H is just hold on for one more day, hold on. But the letter O is a big part of it. Open up to somebody. Share what you're in fear of, why you've lost hope. P, put yourself in a new environment. Man, that's huge. And then E, expect to see changes. And I really believe you will. And part of expecting changes is standing on what God says about our situation, not what our circumstances do. That's where you find hope over fear. Hold on. O, open up to somebody. P, put yourself in a new environment. And E, expect to see changes. And you've got to base that off what God says about you and your situation, not what your feelings say. I hope you'll stay with us and tune in tomorrow as we continue talking about how we can face fear in our lives. But we got to face it first and examine it here on Hope is Here. I'm Greg Horn. We'll see you tomorrow.
Join Sunrise Children's Services Saturday, February 9th for a power-punched evening with boxing great George Foreman to celebrate Sunrise's 150th anniversary. Called Fighting for Hope, this evening is sure to inspire and encourage as George shares his testimony of failures and successes. For more information about Sunrise Children's Services and Fighting for Hope, go online to sunrise.org. That's sunrise.org or call 800-456-1386.